The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You're listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-host for this one is Nick the Voice at Nick the Voice. You can find him there on Twitter /X as well. If you want more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, you can check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. The Boston Red Sox dropped the third game against the Rays out of four. Peyton Tolley goes five innings, allowing three runs on seven hits, striking out four. Junior Caminero, solo shot in the first, got the party started. But that's not where the story is. Story lies with, unfortunately, Trevor Story and the failure to capitalize on opportunities by making poor decisions. So this is a frustrating game. I think before we begin, happy Mother's Day to the moms, to the grandmas, to all the motherly figures out there. Without you guys, we wouldn't be here talking about baseball and hopefully making great choices. But Nick, why don't you take us away? What were your first initial thoughts of this one?
You know, this was one of those losses that is almost unremarkable. You know, just a 4-1 loss, very frustrating to watch because it was very predictable. Tolley, to me, obviously he wasn't his sharpest, but I don't place the loss fully on him. Ultimately, you've got to score runs to have a chance. Losing 4-1 is really just one of those instances where a lot of things went wrong, you know? You can't really say that the pitching did a great job, can't say the defense did a great job, can't say the hitting did a great job, certainly. And, you know, we're going to break those parts down, especially defense and offense, because for me, and maybe this is me being a Tolley apologist, which I wouldn't really call myself necessarily, but despite only having four strikeouts, you know, seven hits, three earned runs, no walks, that's not too bad for a guy who has shown quite a bit of stuff at the start of his career. The bullpen equally, obviously, Kelly came out, wasn't really able to have a very good outing, did give up another run. Not that it mattered. Tolley gets the L. But the rest of the cast did pretty well. Slayton as well, returning to the bullpen. I think he could be a big piece. But ultimately, you only need a bullpen if you have the lead, right? If you're going to be losing every time the starters come out, you're fighting an uphill battle. So guys like Slayton, coming back to hopefully be higher leverage arms, eventually joining guys like Whitlock, Chapman, their impact is ultimately going to be diminished every time that you have an offense that goes out there and puts on a performance like today, where two guys get all of the hits and no one around them seems to be able to do their job.
It's going to be a hard act to follow after that one. But I mean, one of the big things that I've been harping and really, really talking about, because it drives me effing nuts here. The mistakes and the small, just the small things to, you know, tweak and just get right. The Boston Red Sox, as far as MLB ranks are concerned, because I want to talk about the defense here a little bit. With defensive runs saved, we have 32. That's first. Out of outs above average, 15. We're tied for second. This is a graphic that they showed during the game. And outfield assists, we had 10. That's also first in the majors. Now, the reason why I want to talk about the defense, there's a couple plays that come to mind. You have Tolley, as you mentioned, we talked about the home run he gave up. Unfortunately, that was just kind of like a golf, you know, chuck swing. And it just, against Junior Caminero, Junior Caminero is one of the best hitters in baseball. He doesn't have to work too hard. It's incredibly frustrating when the announcers are talking about Junior Caminero having crazy power. And Junior Caminero baptizes the Red Sox, not once, but twice when they talk about his absolute power. So if I'm the announcers and I'm commentating for the Boston Red Sox, I'm thinking about something and then I'm shutting my effing mouth because you're speaking it into existence every damn time for the wrong team. And here's the thing, Junior Caminero, this kid's, he doesn't need anybody's help. I mean, if you watch the interview that he had a couple of days ago, he asked him, you know, like, what comes to your mind when you hear this and this and this? And the interviewee asked him what he thought when he heard his name, and he goes, the greatest. I'm like, holy crap. That's intense, right? But now he's proving a point here. So the defense is supposed to be pretty good. Now, there was a play in particular. It was a kind of like a little fluke rip in a right field. Willier Abreu stops that from going into the stands, throws it back in a first base, and they're able to get the runner out in a rundown. Monasterio ends up kind of jumping or like dive tagging the runner. I can't remember who it was off the top of my head. I'm sitting here like, great, awesome. The run prevention unit, the RPU, is doing great right now. This is what we need. Prevent those little, you know, they're going to make those little mistakes. You have to capitalize on them. And I know we're going to talk about another person in particular, but wall ball double, their left fielder Simpson, who's got speed for days, doesn't know how to play the monster, allows our runner to get into second base. Not the prettiest run job, but a double's a double, and I'll take it. The defense, though, from Trevor Story at short it's just tragic in this game. And I like Trevor Story. I really want him to succeed. I want that 2025 Trevor Story to come back so badly, because the people are calling for Marcelo Meyer to go to short or to have anybody else play short, because that little backhanded pick can't happen. If you're up by 4 or 5, you want to take a shot, fine. You have an extra second and a half or half a second. Be smart. Get in front of the ball. Don't just try to pick it, because if that goes up, that's like it's a brainless move. And Trevor Story is so much better than that. And what happens from that moment is that two runs end up scoring. If he makes that play, fires to first, you get a pop out. Both runs never score. Peyton Tolley is probably able to go another inning. Who knows what happens with Kelly? Maybe we allow another run. Maybe we don't. But this is a 2-1 or 1-1 game. And it's just the mistakes like that just cannot happen. I can't say it enough that a team like Tampa Bay will capitalize on those moments every single time. And they look at it as, okay, well, that one just didn't work out. We got to get that one back. The Red Sox make those mistakes and they can't get it back. Tampa Bay is showing they're one of the best teams in baseball because they're playing smart ball. If they make a mistake, they make up for it.
Yeah, Tampa's been one of those teams for a while, too. I feel like they've just got some of that Devil Rays magic inside of them. You know, no one was expecting them to be a contender even in the division, let alone the league this year coming into it. I certainly wasn't, and yet they're completely proving a lot of people wrong, myself included. Tied with the Yankees in terms of most wins in the American League. Of course, the Yankees still playing, so that could change. But everyone beneath them is beneath them by quite a bit of distance. I mean, 26 wins at this point in the season. It's extremely impressive. A 6.67, right? Devil Ray magic. 6.67, it rounds up. Win percentage. It's really unbelievable. But you're talking about the defense and the run prevention unit, which I feel like the run prevention unit, that's just one of those names that will just live in infamy, right? No matter what happens, every time a run scores, we're going to say, oh, what happened to the run prevention? Because that is the philosophy that this organization built itself around coming into this year. And the sad truth is that most of the defenders are doing their jobs. You know, I know some guys started out rough. Sadan Rafaela in particular, obviously being held to very high standards, competing against himself. But if you just look on Savant, right, grade the outs above average at the different positions, let's look at the outfield. Jarren Duran filling in, of course, as the full-time left fielder, really, in light of Roman Anthony's injury, 83rd percentile in terms of outs above average. Rafaela, 88th percentile. Willier Abreu, 90th percentile. These guys are absolute studs in the outfield. You go to the infield, first base defense, as much as first base is not the defensive position, right? We improved what used to be a huge gaping hole for many years. Wilson Contreras has been an absolute defensive beast out there. Of course, getting hit in the hands today, unfortunately being replaced by Monasterio. 98th percentile in terms of range, Contreras has been. Marcelo Meyer, 92nd percentile. Even Caleb Durbin, the much maligned player, playing third base, at least you can say he's in the 94th percentile of outs above average. So where are the mistakes coming from? There is a glaring hole in this defensive unit, the run prevention unit, and it happens to be at the most important defensive position. I don't understand how any team, any organization that respects itself can build a philosophy of run prevention and send Trevor Story out there to massacre baseball after baseball, not at the plate, but in the field. It's despicable. And I'm sorry for getting heated, but it maddens me because I really, when I saw him open the season at shortstop, batting second, I was repulsed. I said, I got to predict rain is coming. It's going to be a bad show, right? And I wish I could say I've been proven wrong. I haven't. I've been vindicated. And I don't like being right when I'm being pessimistic. You have a guy who last year was not a good shortstop in the third percentile in outs above average in terms of range with a weak arm. This year, the range is not quite as bad, but it's still only in the 21st percentile. And guess what, folks? The arm has gotten even weaker. The man is not a shortstop. Alex Cora, I thought, was forcing him into the lineup, forcing him into the position. Now I don't know who is. Is Trevor Story really such a bad personality that they can't go up to him and say, hey, man, you got to play second base? Because this team might not be winning ball games, certainly not scoring one run, but you cannot look me in the eyes and seriously tell me this team is better with Marcelo Meyer playing second base instead of shortstop where he belongs. It's just despicable.
Hard to, when you bring up stats and facts, numbers do not lie, right? I wanted Trevor Story to show us a glimpse of that 2025 joy. You know, he started to slow down September, started making some errors. And yes, you get forgiven when you hit a lot of home runs and you're statistically speaking, probably our best hitter last year. This year, the strikeout numbers are way up. The home run numbers way down. On base number, not great. Struck out three times today. And this is another thing too about Tampa Bay. They were, you know, Sadon challenges a lot, right sometimes, wrong sometimes. Trevor Story, I believe the Red Sox still had one more challenge when Trevor Story took a ball inside called strike three. Excuse me. But when you look at Tampa Bay under a more fine microscope, when Terry and I went on, the Rays had 13 straight games going into that day, allowing opponents to three runs or less. They've gone 12-1 in that streak. Sox broke that by scoring four in that game. We still lost. But we barely got that run, and it was because of a mistake they made because Cedric Mullins didn't play center field, probably to the best of his ability. Since then, they're now 14-2, and they still have kept the Boston Red Sox to three runs or less. Yes, we won 2-0, but they kept us to less than three runs. And then today, we scored one run. So the frustrating thing is that the Boston Red Sox are who we thought they were. This is a team that depends solely on the pitching to perform. If they don't get the jobs done, offense doesn't stand a chance because we can't consistently hit. Wilson Contreras, to your point, is out, was sitting there with a big wrap on his right hand, keeping the compression wrap, keeping the swelling down. That sucks because he's been one of your best hitters this year. So your run prevention unit is now going to be working overtime. It's May 10th. And your run scoring unit is still on holiday, and it's May 10th. So Jeremy had that famous quote, you can't win a season or a division in the first month of the season, but you sure as hell can lose it. Guess what, folks? After this series is over, you have six games against the mighty hot Phils and the Atlanta Braves, who are, I believe, are 27-13, one of the best teams in all of baseball. And the Rays are one of the best teams in baseball, too. I mean, the Rays had the runners at the corners. There was one out. Cedric Mullins lays down this perfect sacrifice bunt. Runner comes in to score. That's their fourth run. They prevent a double play ball because Cedric still has some wheels. He also got caught in a weird little pickle early on. And Trevor Story was able to make up for one of those because he ended up tagging Cedric Mullins on the way back to first base with that little rundown. So I'm appreciative that I was able to get one of those two back. The problem is you're still not scoring runs. You're striking out too many times. You're depending on players that are making their debut this year to do your damage for you. And here's the thing. You're leaving them on second. You're leaving them on third, and nobody's scoring. So Ducks on the Pond never looked good at Fenway Park. It does in the HABA, but like not here, guys. Like this just isn't gonna get it done. And, you know, they were talking about the starting aces as well, you know, to boost your, you know, your defense and your pitching. You've got Peyton Tolley, who's been a dog out there, against Nick Martinez, who's just been rejuvenated. And I didn't think for one second that Nick Martinez was going to pitch that much better than Tolley, but it's not Tolley's fault. Tolley was let down by poor defense. And I said that, you know, the second game of the series is probably the only one we're going to win. There's a good chance we go 1-3. And Terry said, yeah, I got nothing else to say. That's very realistic. And so far we're sitting 1-2 and we're 9 innings away from speaking that one into existence.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring up the Phillies because in a lot of ways they parallel the Red Sox and then go in completely different directions. The Phillies off to that miserable, miserable start. It feels like not too long ago I was in a show finding out live. You could hear my live reaction as I looked across into the National League and went, oh, wow, the Phillies are bad. Then they fire their manager, much like the Red Sox did, and they're not bad anymore. I mean, 19-22, nothing to write home about, but considering they started the season absolutely dismal, as bad, if not worse, than the Mets, who are still in the basement in the NL East, I mean, that means quite a bit to be able to suddenly put themselves above the Nationals, above the Marlins, maybe not be challenging the Braves, but chasing them, not a bad position to be in. You know, the Nick Martinez comparison, it's interesting because I feel like the Sox were getting good contact against him. They weren't striking out a lot, only 3 strikeouts, 7 hits, 7 hard hits, you know, on Nick Martinez in 5.2 innings. Unfortunately, as soon as like Garrett Clevinger came in the 8th, it seemed like the team just gave up. I mean, 3 strikeouts, absolutely nasty. And Brian Baker, despite a shaky start to the 9th, I didn't feel a comeback, did you? 2 men on, right? The tying run at the plate 3 times in a row. Were they able to capitalize? No. And I knew they wouldn't because unfortunately this roster has no power, right? That's what we've been saying since the beginning. This is a culmination, I feel, of a lot of factors. But the offensive struggles, I think that there is an approach problem, and that's why I'm glad that Fatsy is gone. You know, say what you will about Driveline, but just get a different face in the room, you know, get a different perspective. More Driveline, less Driveline, I don't really care. Hit home runs, hit at all, walk more, you know? But when it comes down to this roster, I think that there's also, unfortunately, a talent problem. You know, Sedan Rafaela, as great as he's been to start this year, he's not Barry Bonds. He's not even Roman Anthony. You can't put this guy out there and expect him to be your offensive surge. He is Jackie Bradley reincarnate, a great defender who's going to have some great moments at the plate and a lot of not great moments at the plate, right? He's not your rally guy. Caleb Durbin, certainly not your rally guy. Jarren Duran, this year, definitely not your rally guy, although he is trending upwards, and I feel like a breakout is due. But how sad is it that today, looking at the roster, I mean, as many hits as the Red Sox got, they tied Tampa Bay, right? 8 hits for both teams. You look at the box score, and Tampa's are all spread out. I think it was 8 different players who got 1 hit apiece. Today for the Red Sox, it was all Monasterio, who wasn't even supposed to be in the game, only came in because Contreras got knocked out, unfortunately. And it was Mickey Gasper, who I think a lot of people, myself included, as soon as we heard he was on the roster, we said, why is this guy doing this? Why is he the call-up? Why is he in the lineup? And he goes out there and he puts together better at-bats than everyone else combined just about. Monasterio and Gasper are also not the solution, obviously. These are not guys that you can rely on. They had a great day today, and maybe they'll have more great days in the future. But who is going to save you from this. Like, who's going to figure out how to carry this offense on their back? It's got to be a combination of guys, because Contreras is good. He's not that good. Not good enough to make up for 8 black holes. Willier Abreu is very good. So maybe reduce the 8 black holes down to 7. Yoshida's been off to a good start, but he can't play every day. Marcelo's been good. Rafaela's been good, but they aren't power guys. You aren't expecting them to be your 30 home run options. So this roster, unfortunately, is just glaringly full of holes that we all called out in the offseason. And unfortunately, they are still glaring today. We're losing baseball games because of it. I don't really know what the answer is, aside from you need new names on the team. And that's not really a fix that can come May 10th.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head there. Mickey Gasper making his debut for the Red Sox this year. 2 doubles, a single, obviously, as well. Did work from both sides of the plate, which is kind of nice for a switch hitting catcher. There aren't too many of those in the bigs. But it does say a lot about your team. Injuries do happen. That's a part of the game. It sucks when it's to the guy who's banged a lot this year. And, you know, Wilson Contreras does hug the plate a lot. So it's not to say like this was a big surprise. He's been hit 8 times this year. That sucks. But the fact of the matter is, Mickey Gasper under, and this is no disrespect to Mickey Gasper, I'm super appreciative. That mustache, he earned that mustache today. 3 hits. It's fantastic. You cannot say that Mickey Gasper is the best player in your lineup that day. He can be a core player. He could be a good like player that helped out with the rest of the team. He should not be your team leader in hits. He should not be your team leader in extra base hits. That is a glaring flag if you're Red Sox ownership. This team was put together so poorly. And to your point, Nick, you were asking, well, where is it going to come from? Here's the thing. They thought it was going to be coming from Willier Abreu, Trevor Story, Roman Anthony, maybe Meyer, who knows with Yoshida, Carlos Narvaez, the introduction of Wilson Contreras to the Boston Red Sox. And guess what? They didn't get it from Story this year. Abreu started off hot and then cooled off. Carlos Narvaez has been really quiet this year. Wilson Contreras has been great. And Roman Anthony has been a black hole. And so you put the pressure and the city of Boston on the backs of a 21-year-old kid, a new kid who's been here. And that's where we're at right now. That's why this team is doing so poorly. Nick, I know there's a point you wanted to mention.
Yeah, you know, it comes down to a lot of things, right? Just a couple interesting statistics from today. Sox 1-for-10. With runners in scoring position. I mean, that is just despicable. It's a shame when you're getting doubles out of guys or even in that ninth, right? That leadoff double from Gasper, that walk from Meyer, and then just 3 straight outs. It's impossible to win games if you're bad at situational hitting. And that's a problem that goes far beyond 2026 for the Red Sox. And ultimately, you know, Trevor Story, you mentioned before, was able to provide some pretty decent pop last year. His hard hit rate is what really stood out, or his barrel rate rather, maybe a little bit of both. The barrel percentage down from 9.9% last year down to 3% this year, absolutely dismal. And you're not going to hit a lot of home runs that way, right? Out of 176 qualified hitters, and I saw someone in our private chat in the war room, someone called this out. Out of 176 qualified hitters, where Cedric Mullins is your absolute worst, and he's having a terrible year, Durbin and Story are 175th and 173rd in OPS, respectively. Your 2 everyday guys, one of whom isn't even playing good defense, he's actually a hindrance defensively. These lineup anchors are 2 of the worst hitters in the league. And I just don't know how you can expect to win games like that if you're not making up for that elsewhere. And so far, the Red Sox have not been.
Yeah, we just got a quick little point here from Jules. Bryce Tarong looks like he had a walk-off home run against the Yankees. I didn't see it. I also didn't get the notification, but I'm going to take your word for it. That's awesome if that's the case, because, I mean, we need so much to go right for this team. Everything just continues to go wrong time after time after time. I just want to let that sink in for a second, though. Out of 176 qualified hitters, the second worst and the fourth worst and the last, like the worst, all played in today's game. It's bad if two of the guys in your lineup are there. And, you know, he's had one home run, and that's great. It was off a 42-mile Arifas pitch, and I don't really give any credit to that because I feel like someone's thrown 40, it should be home run derby. He hit a home run off of that, thank God, because if he didn't hit a home run off of that, we're probably seeing a guy hit maybe one home run all season. He has had some moments of really, really good defense, so I'll give him credit there. But third and short, you're going to have a lot of balls hit there. You need to be able to plug that hole, plug that gap, and if it's not happening, because Lord knows it's not happening with the bat, it's bad. It's just really bad. This team is bad. And it's not me trying to be negative or rude. Facts are facts. Numbers do not lie. We're not just making up the 173rd and 175th worst players in OPS and pulling those numbers out of thin air. That's hard facts. That is abysmal. I mean, I was speechless when you said that. I mean, 173rd and 175th out of 176. Even the guy who has the 176 spot out of 176 is still finding ways to be useful offensively. Let me bunt so that I don't ground into a double play. We'll get another run in. I know I don't trust myself. My team doesn't trust me to score runs. Let's get it done. But back to Durbin for a second. Durbin gets hit, I think it was inside of his right arm. I'm trying to remember like how it got hit. I don't think it was the front arm. Like he came in and swung and it hit the right arm. He's at first base. He tries to steal second. Catcher tags him like on the, you know, right thigh bum area before he gets to the bag. And I'm sitting there like, you're not hitting home runs. You're not doing us any favors. We are down by 3 runs. This is not smart baseball. You're fast. I'll give you that. You're one of the faster guys on this team, but be smart, because not long after that, Monastery hit a double off the wall. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was that inning. I could be wrong, but you know, Duran grounded to second, and maybe that would have been a double play. But I'd like to believe that maybe Duran would have been able to scoot his way around home during that double. And Now it's driving me nuts that I can't remember if I'm right or not. I have to check it because it's driving me crazy. But let me see. Durbin hit by a pitch. Duran ground out. Yeah, Monasterio doubled. So, I mean, it's all the little things. Like, you need to button it up, tighten up your game, because you don't have even a top 15 team in the majors. You are a bottom 10 team in baseball. And while you may be good with run prevention, you can't score runs. And when you try to score runs, you're doing dumb things to try to cheat 90 feet. Don't do that. Just don't. You're not there. If you're up by a couple runs, you want to take a chance. You know what? Okay, I understand. Or someone's going to say, oh, that's stupid. Like, you have to try to take chances. You're down by 3 runs against one of the best teams in baseball. This team doesn't allow runs. Why are you taking chances? That, to me, is frustrating. Credit Mickey Gasper. 2 extra base hits, both wall ball doubles. Great work, Mickey. Thank you for showing up, because the rest of the team is still hitting snooze on their alarm clock, not wanting to get out of bed. It's just brutal. Anything else you want to add to those two?
Yeah, you know, I think it's also funny to contextualize, you know, the fact that Durbin and Story are two of the worst hitters in the league. Both of them at times spent quite a bit of time as the Sox number 2 hitter this year, which is supposed to be your most valuable position. And, you know, honestly, Jarren Duran, he's making good contact here and there, but I hate to ride the guy. He's the 15th worst hitter on that list. He's not too far above both Story and Durbin. And, you know, I was curious, obviously he struggled a lot early in the year, but I feel like Duran shifting to bat leadoff has been a more recent development. Only 16 games in that position, but ultimately in 70, what is it 70? Yeah, 70 at bats, not plate appearances, but 70 at bats. He's unfortunately slashing 186, 230, 329 batting leadoff. Duran's got to come alive. That's another everyday guy that you need to step up to the plate to carry some serious weight while the rest of the lineup is slumping. You can't do it. And can I just say, Story has got to stop batting anywhere other than eighth. I mean, the dude is unfortunate, a total liability. I understand he's had power in the past. He hasn't really shown it this year. He hasn't shown much of anything this year. If you're going to keep playing him, play him at second base, bat him eighth, and pray he wakes up. Honestly, though, it's getting close to DFA territory, but that's what I was saying last year, and then he came alive in June or July and ended up having a pretty good season. So I guess I understand the reluctance, especially because he is really the only vet on the team, aside from Contreras, who just got here. I guess I get that, but I'm getting real sick of Story time, I have to say.
Yeah, Story time used to be fun at night. Now it's not so fun anymore. Like I'd rather go to sleep with nothing or go to sleep in my car. Like it's so bad. But before we get off of this, I think we need to move, because otherwise we're going to continue beating this horse that's been beaten enough. Pitching, run prevention unit. Those two things they've put hand in hand, and it just so happens that Peyton Tolley and Conley Early are like hold my beer types. Peyton Tolley, I think from now on, I'm just going to start calling him Butch. I mean, this guy just comes every 5 days ready to roll. Now, Peyton Tolley got an extra day of rest. They've been talking about when he has extra rest, he does better, and that's great. So a couple of facts before we talk about Peyton Tolley, right? Tyler Semeniego, third longest streak of scoreless appearances to begin a career as a member of the Boston Red Sox. That's one. Conley Early is the first pitcher in modern era to allow five or fewer hits in 11 of his first 12 career starts. First pitcher, modern era. Peyton Tolley on Monday at Detroit, Conley Early Friday night against Tampa Bay. 7 innings pitched each, 0 earned runs each, 1 hit and 4 hits respectively, a walk and 8 strikeouts each. 14 innings, 16 punchouts, 2 walks, 5 hits, no earned runs. Before this season started, neither one of them were really considered to be a solid number 5. What else do you want to know? The fact that Conley Early doesn't have 7 career wins or 8 career wins, listening to those statistics, is embarrassing. Peyton Tolley today against Nick Martinez. Nick Martinez in 7 starts, 3-1 record. Peyton Tolley, 1-1-3. Nick Martinez a slightly better ERA, 1.71 to Peyton Tolley's 2.04. You have an ERA just barely north of 2. How you have losses is mind-blowing. How you're taking a loss now in this one, mind-blowing. He's pitched 1.5 the innings. Nick Martinez has pitched 2.5 times as much and barely has more strikeouts than Peyton Tolley, who's just absolutely dealing right now. This team depends so exclusively on its starting rotation, it's embarrassing. One run of support isn't enough. The Boston Red Sox, if you don't score 4 runs, expect the Boston Red Sox from here on out to lose every game that they don't score at least 3 or 4 runs. Because your starting pitching is forced to allow either no runs or 1 run in order to be successful for this team to be relevant. The Red Sox scored 2 runs and beat the Tampa Bay Rays. 2 runs, that's it. 2. That's not enough. Tampa Bay is one of the best teams in baseball. You just heard the stats about the starting pitching, right? It's a major steep cliff drop when you are talking about the Greg Weissertz, who is going for an appearance every 2 games. That's what he's doing. You got Kelly who's coming back. You mentioned that Kelly had given up a run today, just unlucky. Again, back to the announcers. You were talking about Aranda, who's 0-for-2 against Kelly. Shut the up. Just shut up. Because every time you open your mouth and talk about, oh, this guy hasn't done this, it becomes truth. It becomes reality. And it's embarrassing. I'm gutted for these young pitchers who have to come up to Boston because there is no definitive plan set in place. Oh, yep, well, we got this and we got that and awesome. Well, guess what? Crochet is out. Sonny Gray just came back. Ranger Suarez is out. You've now put all of your eggs now in the basket of Peyton Tolley and Conley Early and possibly no baseball season in 2027. You're wasting incredible talent because you are idiots in the front office. Absolute morons. I don't care who's responsible for building the lineup at this point. Go get some freaking talent because this team is embarrassing to watch. They can't make up the small mistakes, partially not because they don't want to, because they can't. And this is a daily occurrence. And you're facing Philly and Atlanta over the next six. You'll be lucky if you win two games. I bet you go 1-5.
Yeah, excellent points, really. I mean, it is a shame because Tolley today, the velocity was up even. And Tolley thus far, in granted an extremely small sample size, but the Savant page has a lot of red. You know, the most interesting part of which I think is that according to, you know, their metrics, their system, their algorithm, whatever you want to call it, he is getting the most value out of his breaking ball, getting a lot of value out of his off-speed too. For a guy who a lot of people sort of decried as having only one pitch, potentially needing to work on that entire supporting cast of pitches, he's doing pretty well with the slider, with the changeup, really starting to, not the slider, excuse me, the sinker, you know, really getting a feel for things. The curve, even, not too bad from what I've seen. This dude has a lot of potential, but he's 23. And, you know, good games are going to happen because he's talented enough. Bad games are going to happen. But it is such a shame. And I see this in a comment in the chat from Michael as well, echoing the same sentiment, that when you put so much pressure on these young guys to perform, the team is just going to simmer in this terrible stew that they found themselves in. You ultimately need your veteran guys to step up. You need Crochet to get back into shape. You need, you know, guys like Story to actually provide some serious value at the plate. You need guys like Duran to step up and turn it, not even into that 8-WAR season, just turn into what you were last year. You know, you need guys to sort of find their level. And that's unfortunately what we're counting on. We were counting coming into this year, if we're going to have a good year, we need a lot of things to go right. So many things are going wrong that now we're saying if we're going to be a 500 team, guys just need to start playing like themselves. You know, we've been treading water pretty much. Chad Tracy and the Red Sox have been treading water post Alex Cora. And the team is more fun to watch in a lot of ways. I think that, you know, obviously going on that big two winning streak, you know, which was mammoth for 2026 standards, unfortunately, that did add a lot of electricity that was much needed to the fan base. The Chad Sox, Chad Tracy just seems more energized out there than Cora was. And I think that that's a big part of it. But you've got to play better than 500 balls, or 500 ball rather. You know what I mean? You can't have baseball where you're just treading water after a miserable start. And, you know, you look at the Phillies, not all of their players suddenly came alive after their coach was fired. You have Alec Bohm, who has been a good hitter in the past. I've even heard Red Sox fans say we should trade for that guy. He might be a good fit this past offseason. He is right down there with Durbin and Story as one of the worst hitters in the league. What did they do? They benched him. And it's just a mental health break. It's like, let's give you a couple of games off. Let's try to get a reset, you know, stop trying so hard. I don't know. We need that for a couple of guys. We really do.
I agree. Because
it's tough, you know, it really is to go out there and watch the same thing happen game after game after game, a win here, a loss here, a win here, a loss here, all while the same problems are revealing themselves and repeating night after night.
I wouldn't be surprised to your point about Alec Bohm. Like he's having a really rough year. He's hitting under 200. His batting average has dropped 100 points. He's striking out a lot. It just doesn't seem like he's in the right headspace. And you're right. Mental health break, mental health time, whatever you want to call it, the Phillies can afford to bench him and put in a player of their choosing. The Red Sox, if you take a subpar player out who's struggling and you put an even more subpar player in, you get bit even harder. One point I want to talk about regarding the pitching, because it really, and I mean, man, it's so hard not to swear now. Most of, you know, the people that I really talked about, you know, guys like please cut out the swearing. They're older now. They're hearing all sorts of fun stuff in high school, college, middle school. But it really ticks me off about the Kyle Harrison move. I mean, Kyle Harrison so far, if you had to guess without looking, how many starts Kyle Harrison has made allowing more than two runs, what would you say? He's pitched seven times this year. How many starts above two runs?
I mean, realistically.
Wait. Hold on. Yeah. Let me preface this. It would be the most Boston Red Sox, oh my God, go figure answer. What do you think the answer is?
Like one out of the seven?
None. Zero times. Yeah, right? He is 3-1 this year with a 2.41 ERA. He is just having a great time in Milwaukee. Absolutely great, right? But you got rid of him and you spent $130 million on Ranger Suarez. And I'm going to say that I'm going to be a Ranger apologist here. But that $130 million that you could have had and invested in, I don't know, what's the hitters? Offense. If you invested $130 million in offense, you could have done great, right? Because you had Kyle Harrison. You could have kept, what was the name of that guy we traded for the Red Rocket? What was his name? Oh, yeah, James Tibbs III. Who's torching it in AAA? We could be using him right now. It's just absolutely astounding how dumb this team can be and just how dumb this front office is. IKF, he's had a couple moments of like, great, awesome, glad you did that. But $6 million, you couldn't give $6 million to Rob, who was a fan favorite and did great work for the Red Sox, Rob Refsnyder. I mean, I miss him. It's tough. It's really, really hard. 130 plus million. If you didn't give it to Ranger, you didn't give it to IKF, you could have reallocated that and reinvested it. I'm not even saying you have to spend the 130 million. You could have maybe overpaid to get somebody else like you did with Alex Bregman and pay someone 50 million for a year because there might not be baseball next year. You could have done anything with that and you opted not to do a thing. Like you did nothing until Ranger Suarez hadn't been signed and you signed him minutes before what felt like the season started. It was a poor excuse and here we are. So yeah, great. You're starting pitching, doing a superb job. Now, Kyle Harrison only has two quality starts. He's only pitched six innings twice this year. He's gotten you five plus four or five times. So he's going to eventually get stretched out. He's going to be fine. Quinn Priester is going to come back because the Boston Red Sox love giving away great pitching to Milwaukee. We just haven't learned a goddamn thing since trading for Tyler Thornburg and giving away Travis Shaw, Mauricio Dubon, and a couple other players I can't remember. But this is the thing. You should not be allowed to call the Milwaukee Brewers. There are only 28 teams you're allowed to trade with. If Milwaukee calls, do not pick up the phone. Don't answer the phone. It's just, they are finding new ways to absolutely just ram it down our throats. And Jason's expression, getting your lips ripped off, it's going to continue happening. I don't care if the Boston Red Sox lead with the most shutouts. You're also going to get messed about with on a consistent basis, night in, night out, because you can't score runs.
Yeah, I mean, it's despicable. It really is. This team is just not built well, you know, and you can't say it enough. There's so much wrong with the allocation of resources. That's the problem, because as much as I'll be the first to wave the flag and say, we need John Henry to invest, we need to spend more money, the money that we have spent has yielded this roster. And you've got teams like the Guardians paying less than half that the Red Sox are, doing significantly better. You know, if your player scouting, your player evaluation, your player development, if those things are lacking, and every time you trade away a player, they get better, with the exception of Rafael Devers, funnily enough. And every time you get a player back, they seem to get worse. I mean, the call is coming from inside the house at that point, and you've got to make some serious adjustments. Obviously, we've begun to do that with Breslow sort of cleaning house, but Breslow is just as much of a problem, if not more so, than all the guys that he fired at the end of the day. So I don't know what you do here. You need to bounce back because you need money to come off the books. You need money to go to the right places. You need to overhaul the culture. You need to overhaul the hitting philosophy. And it becomes so overwhelming that I'm afraid that Red Sox Nation is just going to check out at some point. You know, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? That's the tough question. You know, there are a lot of diehard fans that sometimes we torture ourselves. We watch every game, no matter what. Some people actually go to Fenway. I think you probably shouldn't in a year like this. If that, you know, if there's any way to send a message, it's certainly going to be that. But I just don't know what you do, because you're seriously risking an era of Red Sox baseball that has not really been seen since the turn of the millennium. You know, 2003, great year. 2004, obviously historic World Series victory. After that, where were the slumps? Sure, the Red Sox had years of last place finishes, but they always somehow seemed broken up by division championships. They were either awful or they were great. And now they're just in this sad state of mediocrity that is actually deteriorating year after year. And I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, talk too much about pink hats or bandwagon or anything like that, but you're going to lose fans this way. You know what I mean? And that's not the most important thing necessarily. Obviously, if your allegiance is going to change that easily, go ahead. But that's more of a symptom of the problem than a problem itself. You know what I mean? It's just the fact that Red Sox are not playing fun baseball at this point. They aren't playing interesting baseball. And so when it comes to that type of thing, I don't know, you start to lose a team identity, you know, because the Rays, as much as I hate them, year after year, they find a way to do this. I came into the season predicting the Rays would probably be the last place finishers in the AL East. I'm eating my words with that, just like I did Toronto last year when I said I didn't think they were a legit playoff team. You know, so I don't know. Other teams are finding out ways to do more with less. The Red Sox are just getting lapped over and over again by teams like the Brewers. And it really is just a situation where Red Sox baseball is at its lowest point. And thank goodness there are some fun young guys to root for. Hopefully they can succeed, because the organization is just not all that likable at this point.
I'll say this much as my final point. I think this team has been getting absolutely destroyed ever since the Sale trade. Last 3 years have been an absolute just, it's been dog you know what. And it just doesn't seem to be getting any better. I'll leave it on that one. Let's move it over into upcoming series. Praying can end quickly and maybe rain out and someone gets an extra day of rest. No baseball tomorrow. This is probably for the best. I think everybody needs a day off. This will give the Red Sox time to evaluate what's going to happen with Contreras. 3-game set against Philadelphia. TBD against Wheeler. You got Brian Baio going up against Painter, and then Sonny Gray going up against Lizardo. How do you think you got, what do you have in this series? Do you have anything, any good luck, any good news?
No, I mean, the only good news I can offer is Slayton is back on the team and Contreras' initial scans came back negative, just sore right now. That's the only good news I can offer, because Philadelphia, as you pointed out, is just about as hot as it can get. Andrew Painter and Lizardo having really bad years thus far. Zach Wheeler, though, in that first game on a Tuesday, going to be at 6:45 p.m., it's Zach Wheeler versus probably Brian Bayo, and that seems like, you know, you see the meme hydrogen bomb versus coughing baby. That's kind of where we're at this year.
I'll have to look that one up. You said hydrogen bomb versus coughing baby. Okay, I'll look at that later. Versus
Brian Bayo in 2026, I'm sorry to say.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, as much as, I mean, I love having Suarez and Gray as our probable pitchers for that second and third matchup, but Philly scares me, man. They've got a great offense. They've got talented pitchers, even if the surface numbers aren't really displaying that talent right now. But moreover, they're just way hotter than we are.
I have us winning only one game with a maybe next to it. I think we're going to get blown out in game one. I think we're going to get blown out in game three. I don't trust Andrew Painter. I do, however, think that if, and here's the thing, everything I say, unlike the announcers of the Boston Red Sox, I say something that happens, and I tried what you did. You say the opposite, just hoping that something ends up happening. We get swept, and maybe we win a game. But I'm hoping, because at this point, Brian Bayo, for his career, really does need to have a good start. He really does. And that's going to mean doing really well against some familiar faces, with Kyle Schwarber and the Phillies in general. Like, we're no stranger to this team. The person who's running their team knows the Boston Red Sox very well, and I'm sure loves sticking it to him every single opportunity he gets. I don't think we have a chance against Wheeler in game one. I don't think we're going to win against Lizardo in game three. He had a really poor performance in his last appearance. He's facing Colorado, and I think that was at Colorado, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not looking at it. I'm checking it right now as we speak. I should have that up. It was not at Colorado. It was at home. So there's an excuse when you play in Colorado. It's not a pitcher's park. There's a lot of balls that fly out of there, but I'm just going to call that one an outlier. Every pitcher is going to have a clunker here and again. Painter's been having clunker after appearance, you know, start after start. Bayo's been doing the same thing. However, his last appearance, when he came in relief after the starter was in there, was able to strike out seven, going seven innings in relief. So hopefully he can build on that, but the next six games are going to be a very trying time for Red Sox fans.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, and especially when you say Bayo needs to have a good start, because at this point, just to pose a quick final question for you and just a question for everyone at home listening to think about, right? Let's say Crochet is back. Let's say Gray is back. Let's say Suarez is here. Early is here. Tolley is here. How are you possibly going to justify sending Tolley back to AAA if he has especially another start like he has had and Bayo has another start like he's had? How can you possibly justify sending Tolley down instead of using Bayo's option? Just something to think about.
We'll wait. At that point, you keep all of them, and one of your relievers who's taxed, like Weissert, you put him on a two-week vacation. Or 10-day vacation for whatever. Give him the COVID break. I don't want Bayo to be out there or removed. And I don't think that Tolley or Conley Early, under any circumstances, should be sent down or removed either. They've been pitching absolutely incredibly. It's not their fault that this team has been sucking. It's just not. So it's a great question, but it's one that I think every Red Sox fan with common sense should know. Neither Conley Early nor Peyton Tolley should be sent down. Brian Bayo, if he can't figure it out, needs to be in a bullpen role, someone who does have the ability of pitching three, four innings if push comes to shove, or if a starter does go down or is not doing well, you can throw him in there in a game that doesn't even matter. So Bayo shouldn't be gone either. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's it.
Fun. Well, the Boston Red Sox, obviously not playing baseball tomorrow. We'll have a fun three-game set, as Nick and I were just talking about, and then three more extra fun games in Atlanta against Atlanta. That is going to do it for your Bastards of Boston Baseball. Once more, if you want to check out more Bastard of Boston Baseball content, check out bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. Go Red Sox.